probably had a sense of humor.
The one we did have a black people in the room.
And the one
Pastor White, she didn't take us to real either, if I remember right.
Yeah, we were up.
Congregational church, a church in the United Church of Christ, where no matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. Am I on? Okay, good.
You're always on.
Smart Alec. Would have said something else, but we're in church. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here, and we are so grateful that you're with us, whether you are here in these pews or online, whether today or throughout the week. Couple of announcements. At noon today, I will be on vacation for a week. My sister Emily and I are road tripping it to St. Louis to see some friends of ours. And so you are in the loving and capable hands of the Reverend John O'Donovan, who will be leading worship and communion next week at 9 a.m. Please come and hear what he has to share with you. And also, if you signed up to help with the St. Catherine Drexel mission project, that is happening today, and you see information up on the board there. And are there any other announcements this morning?
Oh my gosh, last week the annual appeal letters went out, so please look at them and see what committee vacancies there are. And then up on the board, it says to return them by October 16th. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Moderator. Anything else? Okay, let us share the peace of Christ with one another.
See y'all, been there, done that.
Thank you.
Back row.
Well, this is almost just as bad. I mean, he
okay.
Oh, yes. He's just got to come up with a good transition here to go back to where he belongs.
First thing he'll say is, please stand up.
You can have
this one. Ding, 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 ding. Stand up. Your requirement for it.
We're up. I don't need it.
Join me in the call to worship and the opening prayer. Friends, are any of you suffering?
If so, we will pray.
Are any cheerful?
If so, let us sing praises.
If any are in trouble, God will raise them up, and anyone who has committed sins will be forgiven.
So we confess our sins to each other, accept the grace of forgiveness, and commit ourselves as a reconciled community.
Then let the praying and singing begin.
Let the healing and forgiveness pour forth. God, we worship you in gratitude, in humility, in hope.
Gracious God, we do not know how to pray as we ought, but you pray in us with sighs too deep for words. With all our prayers, we come to you to listen for your word, to hear your healing voice, to follow your gracious leading, and to live by the power of your mercy and grace in us. Speak to us, Lord, for we are listening. Amen. Please join in the opening hymn, number 451, Be Still My Soul, verses 1 and 2.
Through order and grow up.
a first time for everything, and we do it together. Please be seated. God is on our side even when the technology isn't. Let's have any young worshipers who are with us join Becky and I up on the steps for children's time.
Come on up. Oh my gosh. Everybody's hands are full. Oh my gosh. What are you bringing up here today? Holy man. You all have food with you. What's this all about? Okay, have a seat. Let's figure this out. There's so much here. Okay. What did you guys bring with you today? Anybody want to tell them?
I do not know what this is. What?
Looks like hamburger helper.
What did you bring?
Spaghetti.
All right. What do you have? You have some green beans?
Yeah.
Green beans? What did you bring? Wait.
Cake mix.
Cake mix. Cake mix. Yum. Did you bring some too? Yeah. Do you want to share? No. Okay. You got this whole thing, you got that whole bag.
Yeah. Tuna.
The kids decided to join the missions group today.
Woohoo!
The missions committee, that's a group of adults in our church. They're going to St. Catherine Drexel this afternoon. And a bunch of volunteers made hamburgers and grilled brats and hot dogs. Some made some salads. I think we're bringing chips. And I think some people made cookies.
Woo!
I think one of the cookie makers might be on your right up there. Christina made cookies. Yeah. And a big group of them, I guess, are going to help the homeless. Because in today's Sunday school lesson, Jesus says, it's from the book of Matthew, and Jesus says, when we do something for someone else, it's the same as doing something for him. So when we help our neighbor, we're also helping Jesus. When we give something to our neighbors, we're also giving something to Jesus. And so I thought, why not tie in our food pantry donation with children's time, because it's so fitting. The other thing we learned from talking to the food pantry people is that this is a time of year when they really could use the extra help, because they get a lot of donations at Thanksgiving, they get a lot of donations at Christmas, and then this time of year they don't get so many donations. So this is like perfect timing for the food pantry. They said the shelves are going bare. And a lot of people from our church have brought just recently, because we made some announcements, and then this will help also. So I'm going to have you, we'll say a prayer. We'll have Pastor Jacob lead us in prayer, and then I'll bring the cart over. If you want to stand on the steps, you can set it in so we don't make all kinds of drop all our items into the cart. And you can help me unload this bag and all that kind of stuff. How does that sound? Good.
Right.
Pastor Jacob, would you lead us in prayer?
Absolutely. So as you know, I will say a short phrase, and I invite you to repeat it back to me. Dear God,
thank you
for teaching us
how to serve others.
Help us.
Share the food we have.
Share the talents we have.
Share the love we have.
So that everybody has what they need. Amen. Thanks, everybody. You're doing a great job. Look at all that.
They're collecting.
Thanks,
groceries,
everybody.
Or something like that.
Have fun in Sunday school.
Collecting food. Oh, the pantry.
I don't agree with either. Damn it, get off. Get a job.
today comes from Esther chapter 7, verses 1 through 6, 9 through 10, and chapter 9, verses 20 through 22. When the king and Haman came in for the banquet with Queen Esther, the king said to her, "This is the second day we've met for wine. What is your wish, Queen Esther?" "I'll give it to you." "And what do you want?" "I'll do anything, even give you half the kingdom." Queen Esther answered, "If I please the king, and if the king wishes, give me my life, that's my wish, and the lives of my people too. That's my desire. We have been sold, I and my people, to be wiped out, killed, and destroyed. If we simply have been sold as male and female slaves, I would have said nothing, but no enemy can compensate the king for this kind of damage." King Ahasuerus said to Queen Esther, "Who is this person, and where is he? Who would dare do such a thing?" Esther replied, "A man who hates an enemy, this wicked Haman." Haman was overcome with terror in the presence of the king and queen. Harbona, one of the eunuchs serving the king, said, "Sir, look, there's a stake that Haman made for Mordecai, the man who spoke up and did something good for the king. It's standing at Haman's house, 75 feet high. Impale him on it," the king ordered. So they impaled Haman on the very pole that he set up for Mordecai, and the king's anger went away. Mordecai wrote these things down and sent letters to all the Jews in all the provinces, both near and far, of King Ahasuerus. He made it a rule that Jews keep the 14th and 15th days of the month of Adar as special days each and every year. They are the days in which the Jews finally put to rest the troubles with their enemies. The month is the one when everything turned around for them from sadness to joy and from sad, loud crying to a holiday. They are to make them days of feasts and joyous events, days to send food gifts to each other and money gifts to the poor. Here ends the reading for today. May God bless us as we learn from these holy words. Amen.
Thank you, Christina. She had a lot of difficult biblical names today, maybe enough to never want to read for me again, so thank you for that. Let's pray. God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts in this hour be acceptable to you, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So there's been a lot buzzing around in my head all week about preaching on this text. I've never preached on Esther before, so I was excited at the challenge. There's nothing like giving yourself a challenge before going off for a week of vacation. But the biggest reason that I chose this text for today was because of a trend in biblical interpretation that I think we need to pay attention to. So often... the stories and experiences and lives of men in biblical times are uplifted. Think people like Jonah, Joshua, Abraham, Moses, the 12 disciples, even Jesus himself. The list goes on. But we might not like to go so far as to think of the Bible as a fallible document, although an argument could be made for that. But we have to remember that by contrast, there really aren't that many stories of prominent and faithful women that are uplifted. There aren't as many stories of women who both demonstrate extraordinary faith and are well documented in the biblical text. Mary, the mother of Jesus, Mary Magdalene, Ruth, Hagar, and Sarah are among the few prominent women whose names are actually shared, and other women who were faithful to the Jesus movement don't even get that respect. There's the Syrophoenician woman, the woman at the well, and certain other women in Luke 8, right? I don't have to tell you that the cultural norms of biblical times were inherently sexist, And sometimes that sexism pervades even in our church culture today. And many of us come from church backgrounds where women are not given the right to make important decisions or serve in church leadership roles, being relegated instead to the church kitchen or the youth area. And so it's important to remember that that was wrong then and it's wrong now. But as Maya Angelou says, when we know better, we do better, right? And so that's why it's important when stories like Esther come up to be sure to talk about them. Affirming examples of faithful women is just as important as uplifting the stories of faithful men. So today I'm going to talk a great deal about what we can learn from Esther and her courage. I haven't heard that many sermons on Esther in my years in the church, and perhaps we don't go into great detail on this because you often have to read the entire book to get the whole story of Esther. And truth be told, another thing that I'm almost embarrassed to admit is how close my perception of the story of Esther was to the VeggieTales version of Esther. So I don't know if any of you have seen the VeggieTales version of Esther, but it turns out it's a lot different from the biblical version. For example, the good people at Big Idea Productions who made VeggieTales probably understood that parents of young children probably would have had a lot of explaining to do if VeggieTales showed that Haman was impaled on a stick, right? And, you know, imagine that conversation. Mommy, what does impaling mean? So instead, they send Haman to the island of perpetual tickling, where you're tickled day and night, and they won't stop even if you say pretty please. But I have a wedding to get back to in Nina after this, so we won't read the entire book today. You're welcome. So I'll give you the short version of what's happened so far. Basically, the king's first wife refused a command of the king, and the king gets mad and banishes her. So, of course, that becomes the talk of the town. Suddenly, the king finds himself lonely. That's kind of what happens when you banish your wife for disagreeing with you, I guess. You become lonely. So Esther is eventually chosen to marry the king, and simultaneously, Haman convinces the king that all Jewish people are bad, despite the fact that most of the people in Jesus' day, in those times, were Jewish people. There's some real anti-Semitism going on there. And as it turns out, Esther herself is Jewish, so Esther's cousin and guardian Mordecai urges her to use her newfound position as the king's wife to bend the king's ear and save her people from certain death. One of my favorite moments from the story of Esther is actually not included in the lectionary passage that Christina just read. Because Esther is understandably terrified of the proposition of having to single-handedly save her people from imminent peril. But her cousin Mordecai says something very important to her. And I'm going to actually quote. This is a couple of verses from another part of Esther. Mordecai says, "Don't think for one minute that unlike all of the other Jews, you'll come out of this alive because you live in the palace. In fact, if you don't speak up at this very important time, relief and rescue will appear for the Jews from another place, but you and your family will die. But who knows? Maybe it was for a moment like this that you came to be part of the royal family." Paraphrased another way by the musician Jonathan Rundman, Could it be that you are called for such a time as this? Could it be that you are called for such a time as this? So this is the moment that Esther resolves to do what she needs to do to save her people. Haman gets wind of Mordecai's attempts to thwart his plan and plans to kill Mordecai. At this point, we've reached the part of the lectionary reading that Christina read for us. When Esther pleads her case to the king gets wind of Haman's plan to kill Mordecai and orders Haman to be killed by the same method instead of Mordecai. And this way, Esther saves not only herself and her cousin, but her people as well, and is lauded as a hero. Another important thing that differentiates the book of Esther from the other books in the Old Testament is that God is actually never mentioned. But if you read the book of Esther, it's very clear that Esther understands that God is on her side. Indeed, as the commentator Bruce Epperly writes, God's guidance is never obvious, but comes as we are going about our daily tasks, not from the outside, but from within the process itself. In other words, God does not always come to us in ways we can understand, but God is always with us nonetheless. So what do we do with that? What do we do with that here at UCC? When I think about what the story of Esther can teach us, I think of two central questions. First, who are the people that we ourselves need to advocate for in our lives of faith today? And also, how can we be empowered by Esther's courage to really do the hard work of advocacy when the rubber hits the road? We can learn a great deal from Esther's courage and how God asks us to advocate for the marginalized folks we know. I think there are lots of ways that both this community and the wider world that we live in can benefit from our advocacy. And, you know, my family has been following the news of Hurricane Helene, for example, because as many of you know, my mom grew up in North Carolina, one of the many states that are deeply impacted by this devastation. And thankfully, everybody in our family is safe. But the reality is that the incredible damage has hit home for so many people and communities we know. And of course, this distress is not the same. There's not a person like Haman endangering, you know, the people, but the people on the ground are dealing with lack of basic needs. And many people could use the advocacy of friends and strangers to get what they need. Could it be that we are called for such a time as this? Several folks from our church are also going to the St. Catherine Drexel shelter this afternoon to deliver a meal and sit with people who are down on their luck, to share stories, to share food, to eat together, to share community. Add to that the pressing need of food pantries, domestic violence shelters, homeless shelters in our local community, and how we can help those people in those situations. Could it be that we are called for such a time as this? And finally, there are so many issues facing children and youth today. Our country is in a youth mental health crisis. Children are dying from school shootings far more often than we would like to admit, while our politicians say nothing and can only offer empty platitudes and thoughts and prayers which lead to no action. Could it be that we are called for such a time as this? So friends, it's clear that the needs are great. It's clear that we need courage like Esther had if we want to change the world. So how are you going to do that this week in your own way? We are only individuals on the surface, yes, but we can do so many great things together if we have the courage to trust in God's care and in God's call. So may you go this week to do just that. May you remember Esther's courage and remember that her courage also lives inside of you. And may you be empowered by that courage to partner with God in justice and liberation. Amen. So now we come into a time of more intentional prayer. Let's begin by taking some time of silence for the people and situations that are on our hearts and need our prayers today. Receive the prayers of our hearts, O God. Amen. So I've got a couple of prayer requests that I have been given. As usual, I will offer an intercession, and I will say, God, in your mercy, and I invite you, if you like, to respond with, receive our prayer. God, in your mercy, receive our prayer. So Lana Meyer texted me earlier this week and informed me that Shar Shiniger is dealing with some health issues. So for Shar and her medical team, God in your mercy. Also from Laura Reynolds, she has two. She adds her prayers for family and friends that she knows who are dealing with the devastation of the hurricane. So for all who are on the ground, for all of the families who have been displaced by this tragedy, for those who have died, God in your mercy. And also, Paul Reynolds had a successful procedure in Fond du Lac to reset a stent. So with thanksgiving for his medical team and for his safety, God in your mercy. Anything else today? Anything on Zoom? Okay. Then let us be in a time of prayer. God, in your grace and love, you remind us of the importance of having courage. You remind us that the courage of Esther lives inside of us, that we may be called for a certain time as this, that we may be called to do your work by sharing basic needs with people who are marginalized and oppressed and endangered. You remind us that we may be called for just such a time as this, when people like Shar and like Paul are recovering from some medical challenges. You remind us that we may be called for such a time as this, when natural disaster strikes. You remind us that we may be called for just such a time as this, when people are discriminated, when people are hungry, when people are homeless, when people are facing war and abuse and conflict. You remind us that we may be called for just such a time as this. We ask you to empower us to follow you and to follow Christ, in whose name we pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. The time has come to offer our gifts back to God. Here at UCC Waupun, we give thanks for all gifts that are given, whether through time, talent, treasure, or prayer. You may give either through placing money in the offering plate or giving online at uccwaupun.net. But however you give, may you give generously as your heart and spirit invite you to give. Join me in the prayer of dedication. Gracious God, we dedicate these gifts and our very lives to the work of love and liberation for all. Help us be empowered by Esther's courage, sharing the gifts that you have given us with those who need a reminder that you have not given up on them. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 580. We are called to be God's people. And this is an unfamiliar text to a familiar tune. So hymnals are in front of you, or the words will be on the screen.
Spirit, sign of hope for all the grace.
Now, my friends, receive these words of benediction. May you go from this place with courage, knowing that God is on your side. May you hold the example of Esther's courage in your heart, with a resolve to advocate for the oppressed and the endangered. And now may the love of God, the grace of Jesus Christ, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Go in peace to love and serve. Amen.